Hey, beautiful soul. This is the Menopause Coach Podcast with me, your host, Adele Johnston. I'm helping you create a vibrant life of joy and happiness without your menopause stealing your personal power and sass. Together, we're making menopause mainstream.
We got into a conversation around it all, and long story short, she says to me, Adele, you're going to live a really long and happy life. I found myself then turning up to these palm readers on the street, and when I was in London at Covent Garden, there was one of these palm readers, and I think I paid her like £5 for like 10 seconds or something to sit down and read my palm and say, you've got a long lifeline, you're going to have a really, really long and healthy life.
Welcome to the Menopause Coach Podcast. This is your podcast where you and I, we dive inside the complexities of all things women's health, but predominantly menopause in the menopause space. We look at mental and physical health in the menopause space, and we do that for all of us, myself included, right? I am your host, Adele, the menopause coach and educator, and today we're focusing on a topic that affects many women during this significant phase of our lives, perimenopause. And of course, we are talking about health anxiety. So first off, I want to start this episode by celebrating you for being here. In the busyness of life, it is all far too easy to chuck on a Netflix episode, and yet you've decided and made that choice to come inside this episode and be here to learn, to be present for yourself, and to spend your life currency with me, which is so powerful indeed, and it does not go unrecognized. So I'm celebrating you, and I hope you can give a massive gratitude to yourself for doing that today. So thank you for putting yourself first in this moment. I want to share a little story with you because I always think that bringing these types of topics to life through a story really helps us. And that's probably just from my point of view of how I like to learn. It always helps if we can put it into context, right? So if we think about health anxiety, one of my most scariest symptoms, might I add, of perimenopause, to which I have had many of these symptoms, some I still manage along with, others that were the biggest struggle of my life at the height of them, I never want to ever experience or see cross my pathway ever again. But when health anxiety started happening to me, I was in a space where I was already having heart palpitations, and I was dealing with them on a daily basis. Sometimes I wouldn't even recognize if they'd finished or stopped. I felt like they were constant. And I started to become a little bit more intense within how I was feeling towards my health at that stage. I genuinely feared that each heart palpitation that I was having was a sign of me having a bit of a heart condition. And it did run on my dad's side of the family. After all, right? My granddad had to have a triple heart bypass. He's still with us today. We are super grateful for that. But it does run on my dad's side of the family. And of course, that irrational mindset starts to slip in and starts to say, oh, well, wait a minute, Adele, this could be the early signs of a heart condition. Runs in the Healy side of the family on your dad's side. This could be something you need to be concerned about. So of course, every flutter, every little ache or pain or tightness in the chest would then become this whole big story that I was in fact potentially dying of a heart condition. The forgetfulness and the inability to hold conversations, to forget words, to forget people's names, and even sometimes just the simplest of things that I was in conversation with, the whole part that we normally joke about, right? But we would make our way into a room, normally it'd be the kitchen, wouldn't it? And we'd be going there for a reason. We get inside the kitchen and then we're like, why am I here? What was I coming in for? We leave without the thing we came in for. We go back to where we were, and then it hits us and we're like, oh, I was going for a drink. Right? How incredibly wild is it that our brain can forget something in such a split second? So the forgetfulness and that inability to hold conversations without losing my line of thought, or even the simple words within a conversation that I was talking about and holding, I had of course self-diagnosed with early onset dementia, hadn't I? Of course I had, right? My mum's mum had passed from it, a form of dementia called Lewy bodies. And after all, maybe that was something that I was inheriting as well as the heart condition. And of course, Dr. Google had me so convinced that it was this or a brain tumour when I was searching my symptoms. Yeah, that's probably one thing I would always say to avoid is jumping inside Dr. Google. It just goes wild from there, doesn't it? Every headache became a tumour. Every skin change became a Google search that, of course, eventually led to telling me that I possibly had skin cancer. Every sore breast became breast cancer. Yeah, I know that if you are a woman right now and you are struggling along with health anxiety, these potentially might trigger something, a little bit more anxiety or worry for you. And I recognize that. And I send you so much love in this moment. But again, we kind of get to this point in our story here where my irrational mind was taking over absolutely everything. Everything became a, oh my gosh, I'm going to die young. And I had this innate feeling inside my body that I was going to die young, even to the point where, right, for those of you that know me, they know that I am really loving in the spiritual world and really appreciate being inside the spiritual space. And I went along to see an oracle spiritual reading expert, I suppose that's what we would call her. She says to me, "You've got something on your mind. I can tell. I can feel it. What is your question?" And I said, "I know you can't tell me the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I feel like I just need a little bit of soothing care right now." And I said to her, "I just have this innate feeling inside my body that I'm going to die young." And she said to me, "There's a reason for that. You are on your last human life form, and that's why you have this sense of urgency. That's why you have this drive, this focus, this ability to just go and do and be successful." And I was like, "Oh yeah, but that doesn't answer my question." Anyway, we got into a conversation around it all, and long story short, she says to me, "Adele, you're going to live a really long and happy life." I found myself then turning up to these palm readers on the street, and when I was in London at Covent Garden, there was one of these palm readers, and I think I paid her like £5 for like 10 seconds or something to sit down and read my palm and say, "You've got a long lifeline, you're going to have a really, really long and healthy life." So that gave me a little bit of soothing, loving energy back inside my mind at a time when I probably needed it the most. So when we think about this, these were fears to me. These fears were real to me, and they were not irrational, not at that point. Yeah, it got serious, I suppose. And for me, it became this whole feeling that just went through my body and sometimes gave me this cold sweat and shiver down my spine. But I got serious about what I was actually doing and what I was feeling and thinking. I empowered myself through knowledge and understanding and led to my own menopause care being really super powerful for what I needed at that time and what I continue to need as my needs and my wants evolve and change. And something I now do and have done for years in the women's health space for you, for me, for so many other women, is teach about no longer needing to worry about the fear of the unknown. Yeah, about empowering us through understanding and knowledge. And this is where we get to then step forward and own where we are in our pathway through our own menopause journey. So let's cover a little bit about what exactly health anxiety is, because for many of us, we might think we know what the two words mean, but what does this actually mean in itself? And my story should have shed some light on that for sure. It's a real condition, okay, especially in menopause, where us women excessively worry about health, often feeding the worst case scenario, as you've heard I did, about physical well-being, about emotional well-being. And you've heard from my own experiences what that actually looked like in reality for me in my own journey through my health anxiety. And during perimenopause, this anxiety can be massively exacerbated by the myriad of changes that are happening inside our body, physically and mentally. So why does health anxiety tend to peak during perimenopause? And this was something I found myself asking myself when I'd managed to kind of simmer it right down and my more rational mind started to come back again. I was like, "Thank the Lord, where have you been?" So this transitional phase in perimenopause, which typically happens in a woman's late 40s, yeah, mid-40s, late 40s, but we appreciate that from all of the previous lessons that we've had inside these episodes, that age is kind of irrelevant for our perimenopause. Yeah, we know that there are girls as young as 12 that enter into menopause. We know that women in their 20s and 30s experience perimenopause, me being one of them in my 30s. But also knowing that menopause itself can happen at any age, not being age specific. That's really important. But this stage of our life involves hormonal fluctuations that can trigger various symptoms, both physical and psychological, emotionally, and we can start to just feel a little bit different, can't we? And these symptoms can include the symptoms we associate with menopause the most, the flushing, the experiences of mood swings and changes in sleep patterns, irregular bleeding, and all the more commonly known symptoms that we always know about. But with all of these changes, it's no wonder that many women become hyper aware of their bodies and the changes they're experiencing, which leads to these heightened health concerns. Where we've maybe never had a concern of health before, it starts to rear its head and we start to think, oh, like, what if it is? And I know that if you're listening to this and health anxiety is one of your symptoms, you'll fully understand that it is so emotionally and physically crippling when this happens. So when we understand the psychological changes that occur in the female brain during perimenopause and into postmenopause, we can then fully understand, well, I say fully understand because we don't actually, we can understand a bit better where these irrational brain moments and instances start to overtake our rational brain. As estradiol levels decline throughout perimenopause, if the woman has a natural menopause, and you know, we do take into account that any medical or chemical interventions, such as through cancer treatments or a hysterectomy, that's a bit different, yeah? But if we look at the surgical or medical related interventions, this will typically, not for all, but for some women, see you go into from your premenopause stage right through to postmenopause rapidly. Yeah, if you have a hysterectomy, for example, a total hysterectomy whereby the ovaries and the womb are removed, this will result in that woman being postmenopausal immediately. And not a lot of women understand this, and it's a bit of a medical crime, in my opinion, that this is not explained to women who have this major surgery. Yeah, I hear it often, so often. I didn't realise that I was postmenopausal as soon as I had the surgery. No one told me that. I just think that it's absolutely disgusting that that is still happening in today's day and age. But it happens. And if we have women navigating the perimenopause stage naturally, so if we think about non-interventions through any cancer treatments or surgeries, then this is where health anxiety can creep in and become a thing. I want to talk about how we can support ourselves through this, because it is a change within the genetics and the biology, chemistry of the body. But if we think about the change that we go through here, and it can be very challenging for some of us, for sure. Okay, we don't discredit that. There are both hormone therapy options and non-hormone therapy methods. And I want to think about then, if we look at hormone replacement therapy, or HRT, this can be an effective option for managing all of these perimenopausal symptoms, or most of, including health anxiety. And in fact, from my own experience, as soon as I started my own preparation of hormone replacement therapy, I noticed within a matter of weeks that my irrational thoughts around my health were far more rational. I was able to think a little clearer, establish a little more rationality around what I was experiencing, and those heart palpitations, they disappeared fully. So I could then appreciate that it wasn't a dicky ticker I had. It was in fact my heart communicating with me that it wasn't getting what it needed to feel happy. Estradiol in my case. Yeah. And once this was supplemented back into my body in a very small, low dose, things were good for me again. And they've remained that way until I have a natural drop within my estradiol again, and I notice some flutters and flickers within my heart. That's an indication to me that my estradiol levels are a bit lower than what they need to be at that point. How cool is that? We get to actually listen to our body's communication with us and be part of it together. So hormone replacement or hormone therapy involving supplementing the body with those hormones exogenously, so externally to the body, and things like estrogen, progesterone, and for some of us women, testosterone. Yeah, and they help to balance out those hormonal fluctuations. We can never repair. There's nothing broken. It's not like we need to fix anything. But we can certainly support the body through this if this is a choice that we make. And of course, my disclaimer is that I do replace my hormones through hormone therapy. So by stabilizing hormone levels a little bit more as best we can, there's no such thing as balancing out our hormones entirely. Our body can even struggle to do that naturally because hormones are forever changing. Yeah, always changing and fluctuating. But it can help to alleviate symptoms, which may help to reduce health anxiety. So less symptoms, less health anxiety was exactly what I experienced. However, it's essential to discuss the risks and benefits of any type of supplement or intervention such as hormone therapy with your healthcare provider, ensuring that they are menopause trained. Yeah, there's still far too many doctors that are uneducated in menopause and women's health and read from outdated information. This is a problem in itself because us as women, we don't get to move forward and benefit from the advances in medicine, in knowledge, in research that is really infrequent, I suppose, and we're underrepresented massively, but we are getting a little bit more and understanding a little bit more as we go. So we want to benefit from that. And as HRT may not be suitable for everyone, some women may have contraindications to HRT, such as histories of certain cancers, certain breast cancers, whereby estrogen therapy is not advised. Yeah, if the cancer is feeding from estrogen, certain type, then you may find that your oncologist or your specialist team advise against using it. It's always supporting yourself through knowledge and working with those with the knowledge to give you that wraparound beautiful care. So we do appreciate that HRT or hormone replacement therapy may not be a suitable option for every woman, and it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. So finding the right dose and the right preparation may require a little bit of trial and error. Yeah, a little bit of teasing it out, seeing what works. And you want to do that with some supervision, of course. And this is, for me, was a huge turnaround for my resolve within health anxiety. It may not be the way for every woman, and we get that. We're beautifully, powerfully unique. But if we can get the foundations of support and we can bring a little bit of hormone therapy into it, if that's what you want and need, then we can certainly review that. We can look at how things are and assess how things are tracking for you through health markers. Yeah, this is what we do. We look at health markers. We use those for, have they improved? Have we seen observationally some changes, enhancements? Yeah. So I think this is really important that we talk about this. I already had a very stable state foundation of health in place before my perimenopause began. And I had the three pillars of my own formula in place, which made a massive difference to how effective my care and treatment has then been. So if HRT isn't the right choice for you, or if you prefer non-pharmaceutical approaches, there are still plenty of strategies that you can employ and help yourself to manage your health anxiety during perimenopause. And we celebrate that. Many of which my team and I teach and we use within our one-to-ones and our community programs. So firstly, let's talk about three things, okay? I always like the power of three. We want to prioritize self-care. And when I talk to you about this, you might think, Adele, how the heck is self-care going to support my menopause and my health anxiety? Well, I want to explain this a little bit. So if you are new here, you may not already know how strongly I advocate self-cares every day, even if it's just 5 minutes. Okay, self-care is anything that feels abundant, rich, and joy-filled for you. If you haven't already, from a previous episode, we've made multiple invitations for this, I would love to invite you to think about what is inside your joy jar or your joy bubble, whichever you prefer. And you're going to pop in all the things that light you up, all the things that feel joy-filled, happiness, abundant. It might be that it's your favorite mug in the morning. It might be that it's a favorite person that you love to spend time with or speak with, a favorite path that you love to walk or part of the forest that you love to explore. It does not matter what, it just has to bring you pure joy and happiness. And that goes inside your joy jar or your joy bubble. Okay, that's really important for this. Might be a face mask, who knows? But it's important that it's your joy jar
moment. Okay, that's really important, not someone else's. And it also means that we get a little bit clearer around what it is that lifts our energy up. We want that upward spiral, not downward spiral of energy and abundance of emotions. Self-care also means getting regular movement. Yeah, I try to stay away from the word exercise because I know for many that word is like a swear word to you. But ultimately, daily movement, daily exercise, and eating a balanced diet rich in fruits and veggies, in whole grains, healthy fats, and complete proteins. We want to prioritize our sleep, and we want to work on the quality and quantity of that. Now, for many of you, you might think, well, this is nothing new. I know this. But I want to ask you this question. And if it triggers you, that's a good thing. Why are you not doing it all? Why does it feel resistant? Or can you really truthfully stand in front of each of these headings and say, self-care, I'm a 10 out of 10. Daily movement, I'm a 10 out of 10. Balanced diet rich in fruits and veggies, whole grains, healthy fats, complete proteins, I'm a 10 out of 10. Prioritizing my sleep, and I work on that sleep quality and quantity, I am a 10 out of 10. And practicing stress reduction techniques. Yeah, this is where mindfulness and breath work come into it. I'm a 10 out of 10. These are the foundations. And they're never going to not be the foundations to your health and care. And that's what's really important when we think about what we need and what we want within our own self-advocacy for health and happiness. Now, it's not that we need to look at this as a punishment, and we certainly don't need to be putting ourselves inside the, I really should do this, because should is one of those negative words, isn't it? Should makes us feel like we have got to do something, not that we want to do something. And my whole entire goal when I work with my one-to-one ladies or within our group community programs is that we want to ensure that this becomes more of a, I want to do this. Yeah, I feel this beautiful love and connection that I want to go and have my daily steps for health. I want to do a breathwork practice, because taking care of your physical and emotional well-being has such a significant impact on everything, on your entire experience through your perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And it helps to alleviate symptoms of anxiety massively. Yeah, health, anxiety. So that was point one, is around self-care. Secondly, we want to seek support from friends, family, or from a trained, qualified individual, therapist, or support coach. Talking about your concerns with trusted people can provide that validation and perspective. Yeah, helping you to feel less isolated in your experience. Now, you may sit there and mull through how you feel, and then it starts to become this big irrational bubble, doesn't it? It's like this big cloud that sits inside your mind. But the moment that you can talk that through and share that with someone you trust and love, that trusts and loves you, you are able to then be a little bit more rational with those thoughts. Yeah, whether it's a therapist who's trained in cognitive behavioral therapy or a positive psychology practice coach, those techniques can teach you practical strategies for managing those anxious thoughts and behaviors. We have huge success with this in our programs and estimate that approximately 80% of everything we do is inside the positive psychology space. Yeah, and there's so many beautiful practices and tools that we get to bring in to the tailored, unique practices that we bring our ladies. And then finally, educate yourself. I cannot stress this enough. We talk about the fact that we cannot rely upon the medical space to be the advocacy for our own health of our bodies. That is your role. It is your body, and it's your role to be there for yourself. So educate yourself around perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, and think about what we've learned today within health anxiety. Understanding the psychological and the physiological changes that happen in the body and for the body. And we get to then take away or demystify some of these symptoms so that we can help ourselves to think about, well, is this a normal sensation or is this a sign of illness? Is this a reliable source of I'm being communicated to through my body? It's telling me that something doesn't feel right. Or actually, yeah, I recognize that that actually comes every single month when I am on my bleed. When I have my menstrual bleed or my period, I recognize that I feel this way, and I'm going to track that, and I'm going to see whether it is cyclical and through my menstrual cycle. So these are really important things. Becoming that reliable source of information for yourself, seeking out support, yeah, of reliable sources of information. And if you're not already following, there's a great Instagram site called Hormone Hub with two B's on the end of hub. definitely go give them a follow. I am supporting behind the scenes on all of the information shared on there. So definitely go and find that Hormone Hub. We'll pop the link in the show notes for you. So think about this as, what can you do to self-advocate, to learn, to grow? Reputable websites, books by experts, support groups through perimenopause. But also, what podcasts are you listening to that support you? I love the fact you're here right now, and this is supporting you for sure. But what other ones can really help? So as we wrap up this episode with so much love, so much health, during our perimenopause, it's so common that we experience health anxiety. Not everyone will, but this may have just given you an aha moment that this is exactly what you've been experiencing. It's not something you have to face alone, and it's not something that only you will experience. So knowing that you are not isolated in this moment is so important. Whether you opt for hormone therapy or not, remember that there are resources and support available to you to help you navigate this phase with so much confidence and resilience. Health anxiety is a real thing, and being a menopausal woman who experienced it to such a debilitating level, I never wish that on any woman to experience. But it happens, and it's therefore important that we understand why it happens. It's therefore, hopefully now you do know that, right? That we have these changes within the body, the brain, everything starts to become a little bit more irrational as we're unable to process the emotional side of our brain as it changes through menopause. And hopefully now we understand that actually when we start to bring a little bit more of that support to our body, our more rational mindset can start to play a role again. Yeah. So I would love to invite you to consider, what do you need in this moment? If you are experiencing health anxiety, it's something that is causing you a lot of distress and debilitating in your life, I would love to invite you to come drop me an email, Adele@adelejohnstoncoaching.com, and we can have a chat inside there around some things that might be able to support you best. So that's all for today's episode of the Menopause Coach podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I just give you this beautiful invitation to remember that your health and well-being, no matter what, are a gift. That you get to make those choices and decisions every day as to whether you sit on the sofa and stay very sedentary in that day, or whether you say, do you know what? I'm going to just go do some steps for health, because that's part of my self-cares. I'm going to, insert thing here, do this for me today. So if you have not done something for yourself today and you're listening to this, I would love for you to carve some white space in your diary and go do something for you in that self-care's bracket. Sending so much love. And until next time, take very good care of yourself. You are very loved. And I, for one, want to thank you and give so much gratitude that you have been here listening to this episode today. So, well done. And I'll see you next week. I truly hope this episode has sparked something vibrant inside of you. I ask only one thing. To help keep these episodes coming, please subscribe and share with another in your life. That's how we reach more women worldwide, and we help them step into their power. Because together, we are working to remove any of the stigma and taboo that surrounds menopause. This does not need to be a daunting, a scary, a taboo time in anyone's life. So together, let's make menopause mainstream.